This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan, and we are back to look at all the action from Week 11 in the NFL. And Dylan, as we always do here on our recaps, sometimes we start off positive, sometimes we start off negative based on how our picks went, but it was, let's just say this, the week started very crazy, which we'll get to here in a second. In terms of the Week 11 games, mm-hmm. but I think for the most part, we did pretty well with our picks this week, aside from a couple that we tried to talk ourselves into, but we just didn't go the full distance with some of them in picking a couple of these upsets.
Yeah, for the most part, there were a lot of big favorites, so we won on those, but I mean, two of those in the Vikings and Niners easily could have lost, so it might not have looked so good for a lot of people that were betting on those spreads, or ourselves if it had gone the other way. I know also people aren't probably feeling too good about the end of the 49er game. When we recorded the podcast, the spread was 11.5. I think by this time the game started, some places it was 9.5, others 10, and then that last touchdown, the cover was pretty nuts. But yeah, overall, we bounced back from a pretty mediocre week 10 in terms of our picks.
Yeah, we'll get to that 49ers Cardinals game. We did try to tell you folks that it's probably going to be a closer game than people thought. But like you said, it depends on probably what you got if you were someone that bet on that one. All right. Well, usually we really haven't done this for the most part because we, as we always say, we don't spend a lot of time on Thursday night game because it's so far removed and people really aren't talking about it that much now. Well, complete opposite here, as everyone is still talking about the Thursday night game from last week, which was, of course, the Browns beating the Steelers 21-7. It was an ugly game for the most part, but as we all know, it got a bit uglier at the end with the whole incident with Myles Garrett swinging Mason Rudolph's helmet at Mason Rudolph. And one of the craziest scenes I guess we've ever seen. Dylan, normally I would sit here and tell you how right I was about the Browns getting back on track and me picking them to win. You picked the Steelers. But I guess, unfortunately, we have to sort of dive into just the pure chaos that happened at the end of that game.
Yeah, it's hard to really think about football takeaways when you think about the end of that one. And even before that, I mean, the game itself was pretty ugly. There was a lot of dirty hits, not necessarily that unusual to what you see from a normal rivalry game, but still a chippy game, tons of penalties. It was going slow. It didn't really have any flow the whole time. So, it all kind of boiled over, obviously, in that moment. In terms of takeaways, I mean, it's the kind of thing that obviously made national news. A lot of my friends will ask me about, football stuff, but I had, relatives and other people that don't usually contact me about the NFL that are asking me questions this weekend when I saw them. So, yeah, it was definitely different. Takeaways, I don't want to, it's tough to really put it into words in terms of the going into what Mason Rudolph did to kind of lead to the event. But regardless of, whether he grabbed a certain area of Myles Garrett and kind of was kicking, I mean, there's no excuse for swinging a helmet, no matter how egregious whatever's happening to you is. So it's not, I'm not shocked about the suspension. I kind of thought the rest of the season would make sense. I know that's a ton of, you know, it's almost half of Myles Garrett's salary there. So I don't know what will be figured out in terms of money and in addition of fines and whatnot. But there's really, I mean, I think the NFL, both teams, both players are really lucky that that didn't end up in a very serious injury. I mean, if it hits him on a different part of his head or a different part of the crown of the helmet, maybe, I mean, he could have been knocked out cold, could have been much more serious than what it ended up being. So. Yeah. That's one thing I couldn't help but think. I mean, everyone's talking about it right after, but the fact that Mason Rudolph wasn't seriously injured was at least one positive, I guess.
Yeah, I keep going back to that, and you, of course, social media is not the place to be when you have events like this that happen, because some of the reactions are just next level. Just, I don't even know how you mm-hmm. I don't even know how these reactions are even thought up in a person's head. But like you said, one of the biggest things is everyone talking about Mason Rudolph's involvement and being the instigator and all this stuff. Well, here's my thing. Mason Rudolph didn't take his helmet off and hit Myles Garrett with his helmet before Myles Garrett hit him with his own helmet. So yeah. To me, I don't really see the matching of the two parties in that case. Now, I know a lot of people said, well, certainly, you know, probably not many people thought Mason Rudolph should have been suspended for the season or anything like that, but maybe there were people who thought he should have been suspended in some form or fashion, mm-hmm. whether for a game or two. I know Sheldon Richardson had his thoughts on that today, which we had the story up on that. There's lots of different stuff. Like I said, it's a very complicated situation, but it's also one that maybe isn't complicated in a sense that the guy hit someone with a helmet, and it's just, again, like you said, I don't care how bad the words were or how, you know, the heart of the tug of whatever he did, if he pulled mm-hmm. at his helmet or anything, he didn't take Myles Garrett's helmet off and beat him with it, and that's what we saw on the flip side. And so that's all I say to the reactions of that. It's just, again, that's just not something that should happen in any scenario. And yeah, it wasn't good. And again, we're not sitting here talking about the Browns getting a win. Whereas, you know, on the last week's episode at this time, we're looking through playoff schedules and all mm-hmm. that and saying, you know, if they can get this win, they've got a chance to make some ground here. And it's the same sort of with the Steelers. But we're sitting here talking about this incident. So we'll see. The Browns are still a team that you're probably not going to look at and say, I completely trust them, honestly, based on this scenario that Mount play. I mean, because you don't know what to expect from a team mm-hmm. That does things like this. And obviously, the Browns haven't, you know, swung helmets at people or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But penalty-wise, like, this is a team that's been penalized so much. Yeah, and we've talked about that. So, it's a bad situation, and I don't know. I don't know what else you say to it other than the fact that the Browns get the Dolphins coming up here and, like we said, have a chance to really reel off a lot of wins in a row here and possibly be back in the playoff race. Mm-hmm. All right. We remove ourselves from that and get to the more normal action as we go into the Cowboys and the Lions. The Cowboys get the win 35-27. It's a game we said the Cowboys had to win, and sure enough, they did. Dak comes up with a huge game, 444 yards passing, mm-hmm. three touchdowns, big games like from the Cowboys offense, which we expected, and it was a must-win for the Cowboys. They got it, and yeah, I think that's probably the biggest part of this whole thing.
Yeah, the Cowboys still continue to, you know, we haven't seen them really beat a top-tier team. And here in Detroit, I mean, my biggest takeaway watching a lot of this game was just how easily at times the Lions are moving the ball of Jeff Driskel. I mean, I know they have a good offense, but you don't expect them to be able to do kind of what they did against a defense that in Dallas we've talked about quite a few times still continues to struggle. And I don't know how far they're going to be able to go in the playoffs if that continues. They're going to face much more potent attacks than what they got on that game. And, you know, they're able to hold on. I had them as my lock of the week, but it didn't look great for first half and going into the beginning of the second half. Obviously, Dak looked phenomenal, but this is a Detroit secondary that's been awful. You know, you want to see the guys like that perform well against worse teams. We talk about how they should put up, you know, big numbers. You can't really take it away from their opponents. They can only play who's on the field in front of them. But nonetheless, for Dallas, you're feeling good. I mean, but last week, going into this week, tied with the Eagles, they lose, you win. But now on the flip side, Dallas goes and faces the Pats this coming week. It's going to be a big test because I don't think we're going to be seeing Dak putting up nearly that many passing yards, let alone what they're able to do in offense. I think Zeke's going to have to be a big part of that one, but we'll see also what their defense can do. It's still a major question mark, and it's still the one thing that makes me worried about Dallas, regardless of whether they get in the playoffs or not.
Yeah, we'll see with them. And as we said last week, we're going to do this with the NFC teams this week. We did it with the AFC teams last week. The path to the playoffs for the Cowboys, which looks a little bit better now that they won this game, because we sort of expected the Eagles, you know, to lose that game to the Patriots, which we'll get to. All right, here's what the Cowboys have left. They're 6-4. They're at the top of that division. They're at the Patriots. They're at home against the Bills. They're at the Bears. They're at home against the Rams. They're at the Eagles. Home against the Redskins. All right, Dylan, let's quickly run through here. At the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to pick against them there.
Home against the Bills.
I will, in this one, I'll pick the Cowboys. I still, obviously, we'll get to the Bills, too. I still have question marks about them.
At the Bears.
Cowboys. Not going to pick Mitch. I mean, we'll see if Chase Daniel's starting by then, but yeah, Cowboys. So.
All right, take your homer hat off here. At home against the Rams.
At this point, I'd still pick the Cowboys. I know the Rams' defense has been good, but I still don't feel completely confident in that offense right now.
All right, and then so basically that gets them to 9 wins there. Then they just need to split the final two, which you're at the Eagles, so that's obviously going to be a big game. But then you finish the season home against the Redskins, which you're going to pick the Cowboys in, especially if there's a playoff spot on the line. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's, you know, it would be at this point, it'd be very disappointing if the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs with that remaining schedule.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. We think they're probably going to lose to the Pats. For the Eagles, I mean, we'll get to their schedule, I guess, when we come up. But they have only one tough game before that Week 16 matchup. So there's a good chance they're going to be even on the schedule going into that game.
We'll see. It's, I think both of those teams at least have to feel good about maybe the way their schedule plays out. Although, like we said, the Cowboys could have a couple spots in there against the Rams, maybe. We'll see. Bills, we don't know, but we've seen the Bills play well. So, before we get to the Bills, though, let's talk about the Jags and the Colts. I knew it. I should have stayed with the Colts. But I was trying to you know, make sure you didn't catch me on the picks and all this, so I decided to change it to the Jags, and it didn't go too well. The Colts, 33-13, that was the kind of win Colts fans wanted to see, of course, after some less-than-ideal performances, the loss to the Dolphins and all that. And you know, this is one that the Colts, we talk about it, we're going to go into them in a second. This is one the Colts had to win, because you know, now it puts them in a pretty good spot moving forward here. And you know, Nick Foles returns, he didn't play bad, DJ Chark had a big game, and you know, for a Colts team that's playing without T.Y. Hilton, Marlon Mack's going to be out a while with a broken hand, it's a good win, because you do have your, you know, a couple star players out. But Jonathan Williams, who I'm sure, as most people will probably not have to guess, he's going to be on the waiver wires when we talk about him later, because he had 13 carries for 116 yards in this game. And by the way, is 0.0% owned in fantasy leagues. It's a big win for the Colts, and it's one where I think this kind of shows us what the Jags are. They're probably just going to be a team that plays spoiler the rest of the way. They're not really a true playoff contender at this point. But for the Colts, a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, the Jags have struggled defending the run all year, and it really, I mean, this kind of sums up exactly what their biggest issue is. I mean, Jacoby Brissett comes back, and he has a decent game, but nothing really to write home about. This is all about the offensive line and the running game, as you just talked about, for the Colts dominating. And on the flip side, the Jags, a team that wants to establish the run, that wants to make Fournette such a big part of what they do, not being able to get anything going at all. And that's one really encouraging thing for Colts fans. I mean, this is a game that for them, I mean, yes, it's not like a really strong opponent, but it's one where you comfortably win, you feel like you're back on track after the injuries and the Brian Hoyer show and all that stuff. Yeah, you got your season right where you need it to be at this point. 6-4 going into this Thursday night game against the Texans. They've got to feel pretty good. Hopefully they're getting a little healthier at some of those key spots. But nonetheless, they still have such a strong roster for the Jags. Yeah, I mean, there was optimism with Nick Foles coming back. And this is one of our probably worst picks. I know you're just kind of going off of it to make sure I didn't gain one on you. And that was maybe part of why I side with the Jags. I also just thought the way that they'd been playing, I thought they had a chance to win one here. But clearly, I mean, Nick Foles looked like Jeff Fisher Nick Foles and not a Doug Peterson Nick Foles.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but you know, first game back, we'll see. We'll see if they can find some momentum here moving forward. And like we said, the Colts schedule the rest of the way. We're not even going to start to try to figure out who's going to win these AFC South games. But they do have a big one coming up on Thursday when they play the Texans. Both those teams at 6-4. Two of the four teams that are 6-4 right now in the AFC. We'll get to those other two here in a bit. But, yeah, big win for the Colts in that one. All right, the Bills and the Dolphins. The Bills get a 37-20 win. We should have made this our lock of the week. Yours still worked. Mine didn't, which we'll get to. But it was a more, you know, convincing performance from the Bills. That's what we wanted to see. We wanted them not to just go in here, you know, and win a 13-10 type of game. Where they're struggling to put the Dolphins away or anything like that. They played well enough offensively, which I think that's something people have wanted to see. You know, they should play like this when they're playing a team like the Dolphins. They should look this good on offense, and they did. I mean, they looked really good. Josh Allen played well. John Brown played well. You know, Devin Singletary played well, and this is exactly what the Bills should have done, and it does make you feel a little bit more confident about them because, you know, they didn't pull a Colts where they lose a game like this, you know, and they went on the road, got a convincing win, and I think it does. For me, at least, it makes me feel a little bit better about the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, compared to where we've seen them go in some of these games where they played some of these worst teams, and as we've talked about, they haven't really covered or, you know, kind of struggled and end up pulling them out, at least you're still getting the victories but not really having that convincing performance. So even if it is the Dolphins, I mean, this is a team that going into the game had won two games, and obviously one of them was against the Jets, but we've seen how the Jets have rebounded since then. And going into the game against the Colts, I mean, yes, it's Brian Hoyer, but that was still a really impressive performance by Miami. They're obviously not a team at this point that's trying to lose as much as maybe the organization itself was with how they constructed this roster going into the year. But yeah, for Buffalo, I don't know how much, but you do, like, at least like you said, you're still getting that performance you want against a bad team. And we'll see how it translates to their next few games where they have some tougher opponents. They're gonna talked about in the last one, they got some tough games coming up. They have Denver next week. They got to win that one, but you got to feel pretty good about where they are at this point. Defense, it's still not really capturing the imagination the same way it did in the first 3 weeks. It's slowly kind of been a decline on that end, but if there was anything they did well on Sunday, it was stop the run. Miami against a decent Colts defense, on a rushing defense, they got it going a week ago. This week, absolutely nothing. 13 carries for 23 yards. I know they were behind a lot of the games, so they're throwing, but regardless, they had no chance of running the ball on Sunday.
Yeah, they didn't, and you said it with the Bills. It's a team, you know, they're up to 7 wins now. We have to remember that. I mean, they're already to 7, and really, I think the way we look at it, getting 2 may be enough, you know, the rest of the way. Obviously, 3, they're in. And when you consider that they still have, you know, of these 3 games, you're probably thinking Broncos at the Steelers and then also at home against the Jets. You know, there's 3 right there that you probably feel pretty good about their chances. And then, you know, that's not even to say if they were to pull an upset on the Cowboys, the Ravens, or the Patriots. So, yeah, you feel pretty good about where the Bills are right now. So it's pretty crazy. But Dylan called it before the season. He was on the bandwagon before anybody was. and he hasn't jumped off yet. So there you go. That's one we definitely got right. We almost didn't feel good about this next one, because I was, you know, feeling really confident about my Vikings pick to win that division. And the way they started this game, I was like, oh no, they're back. Like, we're back to seeing this team that we can't trust. What are they gonna do? And sure enough, after being down 20-0 at halftime at home against the Broncos, the Vikings rally 27-23 and win that game. Obviously a tough loss for the Broncos, who, again, are just playing spoiler the rest of the way anyways. But the Vikings, man, you hate to see the way they started the game, but on the flip side, you got to give them credit for making a comeback like that. Kirk Cousins fueled it, played well, 29 of 35, 319 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, it's a win, right? And I think that's the best way to put it. It's a win.
I think they're looking a little ahead to their bye week. I mean, a pretty late bye week to not have one until after playing your 11th game here. Yeah. But for Minnesota, that first half couldn't have been worse. I mean, I don't really have much to say compared, you know, given what they had done the previous weeks. It was shocking to see. They looked like they just completely were not even there, like mentally at all. I mean, physically they were getting out-muscled at the front, and it was awful. And they're still, if Denver, you know, this is this kind of the story of their season. They've blown what, four fourth quarter leads now, something like that. Yep. This season, it's crazy. And I want to give credit to the Vikings. I can't not think about that one after that. I think it was a fumble on a kickoff return, and Denver gets the ball up 20-0 right before the half, a chance to at least get another field goal, score a touchdown, something, and they throw a pick. Brandon Allen throws a pick, and I mean that it could have been 27-0 at the half, and at that point I don't think Minnesota has enough to muster the comeback they did. I mean, there's not really much more Minnesota could have done. They had the ball four times in the second half, and they scored touchdowns every single time. So it was a pretty crazy game. And even then, Denver, McManus usually makes that field goal that could have put them up by six. Then that touchdown from Diggs makes it a one-point game. It's a whole different game if he makes that field goal. So just a really frustrating season overall for Denver. But for Minnesota, yeah, at the end of the day, like you said, you get the win. You're 8-3. You got your bye. You got some time to regroup, and you're still at this point right in the thick of that playoff race. And who knows, if Green Bay falls this week, then you guys are even up at the top of that division.
And we have to remember, I think we may have mentioned this early in the season, but how the Vikings' schedule fell this year, to where, you know, they have five games left, but three of their divisional games are all at home. So they get the Lions, the Packers, and the Bears all at home here down the stretch. So it actually sets up very nicely for them in terms of, you know, having the ability to not only make the playoffs, but to lock up, you know, that division. So you have to love the way that their schedule sets up, because even a road trip to the Chargers, as we know, is not anything that people exactly fear anymore. So I love the way, you know, their schedule sets up, and they've got a chance to, you know, possibly get to 12 wins or so here. I think if you're looking at the Vikings the rest of the way there for them. So all right, let's just go ahead, let's everyone get our laughs in, let's have some fun here. The Saints and the Bucks. Yes, I know, I said I feel really good about this is my upset of the week. Let's go with the Bucks. I'm all in. I wasn't all in, but I did pick the Bucks as the upset here, and that did not happen. 34-17, the Saints win this game. I even said it. I said I'm going to probably regret picking against a Drew Brees and Sean Payton team after a flat performance like they had against the Falcons. Sure enough, Saints came out, dominated early. Jameis Winston, just, I don't even know what you say at this point. I mean, it's just the amount of interceptions he's thrown. I think he's, what, up to 18 now through 10 games. And it's just, I don't know. Like, it's why did I ever expect this to be a game where I felt like the Bucks were going to be, you know, be able to take care of the ball well enough and all that? And, you know, yes, I know Winston, he had an ankle sprain or something in that game, but this game was over before it got to that point. The Saints, a dominant win, the way you wanted to see them bounce back, and, you know, really, I guess there's not much more to say other than that. The Saints are still who we thought they were, and so are the Bucks.
Yeah, the loss for the Saints last week doesn't look so bad. We're going to get to that Falcons game coming up, so that could be part of it. I mean, they came out complacent, like we said last time. Sean Payton thought they would have lost to anyone, but maybe that opponent wasn't as weak as we thought. And here in Tampa Bay, a team that at certain points has to be one of the more frustrating teams to follow. You feel like they could have a lot more wins if they just eliminated so many so crucial mistakes. Obviously, they missed field goal early in the year. Just so many little things. And it's a team that certain one week they'll look great. And, you know, for parts of this game, they look solid and we're moving the ball okay against a strong Saints defense. But they just didn't have enough at the end of the day. The Saints, as we talked about last time, I kind of thought they'd just bounce back. It didn't. They've played. They always play so well in Tampa Bay. The last few years, it seems like Alvin Kamara goes off every time. This game, really not a huge game for him, but still got back in the mix, more involved than we'd seen him in some previous weeks, making 10 receptions, which is just crazy. Even if he wasn't picking up huge yards, he was such a big part of their game plan. And Tampa Bay really struggled all day defending the pass. Drew Brees, we were joking about last time if they had lost this game, you know, rumblings about Teddy Bridgewater. Obviously was kidding, and sure enough, here you see he's back on track and no problem for them. And yeah, for their defense, I mean, yes, Jameis Winston throws a lot of picks, but they got to force them, and it's a defense that this season overall is going to be a big part of why I still think they're one of the best teams in the NFC that have a chance to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting because they've just, their schedule sets up well the rest of the way. And, you know, for the Bucs on the flip side, you just have to wonder kind of what their quarterback situation is going to look like next year. And that's probably something that fans are already thinking about because it is. It's something that continually seems to sort of, their defense isn't great, which we've talked about, but it has gotten better, but the quarterback situation, they've got to have more consistency there to be able to win these types of games. So we'll see what happens there with the Bucs. All right, to the game we said that last time we just spent way too much time on, and I think we only talked about it for like 2 minutes. The Jets and the Redskins. The Jets, we did get this one right, thankfully. The Jets get a 34-17 win over the Redskins. Another one of those games that quite honestly didn't even feel like it was that close. It was just that the Jets controlled this game. And Sam Darnold, 4 touchdowns. I don't know. This game is what we thought it would be. It was one where you just had a bad Redskins team not being able to do anything against really a bad Jets team, which tells us a lot more about the Redskins probably because they are just they are not in a good spot right now. And then with the Jets, I mean, we've said this many times. Like, the Jets' schedule, like, don't be surprised if we're looking up here 3 weeks from now and the Jets are 6-7 and all of a sudden we're talking about them making the playoffs. That's just because they do. They play the Raiders, the Bengals, and the Dolphins next. So yeah. It's like you can see them winning all three of those games. The problem is, I mean, you could because two of them are home. They get the Raiders and the Dolphins at home. They go to the Bengals. Like, it's possible.
It's in the realm of, you know, it's very possible. Yeah,
but and they go to the Ravens after that, and they get the Steelers and the Bills. So let's not get carried away just yet. I'd probably like to see them beat the Raiders first before we start having that discussion. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a win for the Jets and for the Redskins. Their fans are probably just happy at this point because that means they're moving closer towards having a chance at the number one pick.
Yeah, we talked about going into earlier in the season, you know, the Dolphins being a team that tried to lose and the Redskins being a team that didn't try to, but it's just as bad. At this point, I don't know how they even beat the Dolphins. I mean, that might be one of the bigger upsets of the year was Washington getting that victory in Miami. Man, they look really bad. I mean, there's a couple moments, I guess, with Dwayne Haskins. He had that one throw that got called back and some decent plays where he shows off his arm. You see the talent, but then other ones, where it's just you start having the same worry that you've had of so many young quarterbacks put in these bad situations with an awful offensive line. There's the video of him, you know, talking to the offensive line, saying to the guys, "What can I do to help you?" And their faces, they don't look like guys that are really on his side. They look like, "What the heck are you talking about, dude? Like, what? Why are you in this huddle right now?" So definitely a lot of issues to work out in that franchise. Yeah, you know, they've had top draft picks in the past. Hopefully they're able to translate to some better talent because at this point, you know, yes, the Jets win and good for the Jets. And another 2 straight weeks where they look really good. But, you know, they haven't played the best opponents. Their schedule could work out, like you said. We'll see. Maybe learn a bit more if they're able to beat the Raiders. I know they got the Cowboys earlier, but that's kind of such a weird game. So for the Jets, you know, it's great that the schedule that everyone looked at before the year is lining up how it is. But they just needed to scratch across a couple more wins early in the year. I think at this point, it's still too, as you said, with the Ravens and Steelers and some of the teams later in their schedule, it's still going to be too much of a hill to climb for the Redskins. At least they don't even really have a hill at this point. There's no hill to even try to go up.
No, I'm telling you, I'm sitting here looking at this. I'm looking at the rosters of the two, and like I'm starting to like lean towards the Dolphins being in a better spot than the Redskins. Like, it's crazy to think that because, you know, I do like Darius Geis, I do like Terry McLaurin, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, we'll see. But because, again, it comes down to who's going to take the Redskins shop. Like, who's going to be the coach there? And is anything really going to change? Because we've seen this. I think they can rotate in as many coaches as they want. Yes, it all starts at the top, and nothing's really changed. So do we really expect any big changes? I don't think so. So we'll see what happens there with the Redskins situation. All right, the game, like we kind of hinted at earlier, Falcons and the Panthers, we were both kind of hesitant. We said, you know what? If we were braver, we would have picked the Falcons to win this game, and we should have been because the Falcons didn't just win this game. They completely dominated this game for a second week in a row as they win 29-3. I don't know, man. Again, You can look at a lot of different things on this, but whatever the Falcons did during their bye week on defense to fix some things, like we did kind of say, you know, they shuffled around their coaching staff a bit, and I think I was kind of laughing, like, what is that really going to do, mm-hmm. right? But it's worked because they have just not, I mean, no one, the Saints did nothing. The Panthers did nothing. This was just one of those that, I mean, look, like we said, we wouldn't have been shocked at the Falcons winning this game, but I am shocked at how, yeah. again, for 2 weeks in a row, this was one of, we said it, this could be one of the worst defenses we've seen in a while. And somehow, in back-to-back weeks after uh-huh. their bye, you know, they have not allowed the offense to do anything.
Yeah, 12 combined points between the Saints and the Panthers against them in the last 2 weeks. That's just staggering. How I still struggle to, you know, see how this is possible. I one of my favorite tweets from yesterday was from SB Nation's Falcons, the Falcoholic page, and they said, is it good to know this team is actually as capable as we thought heading into the year? Yes. Is it beyond frustrating that they had to string together 7 losses in the first 8 games before figuring out? Also, yes. Like, it's like you see that all the potential and why, you know, going into the year we picked them to be wild card team, and yeah. why I consider them as even possibly winning this division along with the Panthers and Saints. And oh man, another team that's really frustrating. There's so much talent, and you're just seeing it finally kind of coming together. I mean, the offense had been solid all year, and even when they had some struggles, for the most part, they're still getting the job done, still scoring points. So that hasn't been a big problem for them. Obviously, their defense was one of the worst in the NFL for most of the year, and now, you know, they defended the run okay, and that was one thing going into this game that we were talking about. Hey, like, this might not be the best matchup for Carolina's offense, but you don't imagine Kyle Allen going out there and getting just so thoroughly dominated. I mean, it's crazy he had over 300 yards, but obviously his QB rating is under 50. It was not a good game. So many mistakes, a lot of turnovers in their own zone. It was crazy. There's not a lot of openings on the field out there for Carolina, and that was the biggest thing. It wasn't like just that Kyle Allen was struggling, which he was, but the opportunities weren't really there. It's not like he was missing wide open guys constantly. The Falcons defense, which is where I talked about them being a fast unit going into the year, you saw their capabilities out there, and it's too little too late. I don't think even if they win out somehow, 9-7 is going to get the job done, but at least you have maybe some optimism, and maybe Dan Quinn's job will be saved at this point.
Yeah, a couple things on the Panthers. We're going to run through their schedule like we have because, I mean, they are 5-5. So before we get there, how ridiculous is this? Christian McCaffrey scores 30 fantasy points, and he doesn't even score a touchdown. Like, I mean, it's just, this guy is insane. Of course, that's PPR because he did have 11 receptions for 121 mm-hmm. yards. But this guy's just, I mean, he's just nuts. Like, I don't even know. Well, I don't even know what you say. That's just... I don't know. And luckily, I didn't go against him this week, but I'm sure I have at some point. He's probably gone, you know, for 40-something points. But
yeah.
To have 30 fantasy points and this guy doesn't even score a touchdown, it's just insane. All right, the Panthers. Let's roll through these one by one. I can already tell you where I'm going on this, whether they make the playoffs or not, looking at the schedule. All right, at the Saints.
Nope.
No. Home against the Redskins.
By default, yes.
At the Falcons.
I mean, given what we just saw, I'm going to go Falcons.
Yeah. At home against the Seahawks.
Seahawks, but you know, I do think that that'll be a high-scoring game.
All right, so let's just say, all right, let's say, so they're 1-3 in those. So that takes them to what, 6-8?
And then they got the Colts and Saints. I mean, it's their schedule's brutal. I don't know. I don't see it at this point.
I think they'd be lucky to get to 8-8, and even then, that doesn't get them in probably. So, sorry, Panthers. At least as of this week, we tried to find you something, but I don't see a path to the playoffs for them right now, at least. So we'll see. All right, this next game, the Ravens and the Texans. We nailed this one, didn't we? Game of the week. This is the, I mean, I guess it kind of was, because any game Lamar Jackson plays, it's pretty much the game of the week, I guess.
Yeah.
41-7, the Ravens win this game. They give Deshaun Watson, I guess, what was his worst loss of college, high school, anything. Like, he just, I mean, this guy's a winner, and this was just a lopsided loss. To send the Texans to 6-4, but you know, we kind of mentioned it, I guess, last week. We were talking about Super Bowl contenders and all that a couple weeks ago, and we said last week, you know, we didn't really put the Ravens in that category, but I don't know, man, at this point, like, I'm ready to throw them into the mix and say, if you have Lamar Jackson at quarterback, I feel confident that you can beat any team in the NFL, and considering what we've seen from them the past couple weeks, of course, against the Patriots, now against a team like the Texans, which, you know, have their flaws, but it's still a team that has Deshaun Watson and does some things well. I mean, they are just playing dominant right now, and this is just, I don't know what else you say about what Lamar Jackson's doing.
Yeah, the caveat, that was going into that Ravens-Patriots game, and we said, you know, if they win this one, they're kind of the one team that was right on the outside for us. At this point, there's no one playing better in the NFL. If you're a Ravens fan, I mean, your only concern, obviously health is always a concern for every football fan, but maybe your only concern is that they're peaking a little early. I don't know, but I wouldn't be too worried, because what they're doing on offense, it's not something that it seems like anyone's really schematically been able to really adjust to. They've taken what they did last year and added so many different layers to the point now where regardless of what defense you come out with, they're going to have a counter, and it's just really impressive to see another game where they just dominate on the ground. They're going to have a big test in terms of at least running the ball against the Rams this coming week. I think the Ravens will still win. I'm actually going to be at that game, so and we'll see if the Rams can actually hold, make it a closer one. But a much more difficult opponent in terms of running the ball, at least. Houston, we've talked about all year. I mean, they have Deshaun Watson, yes, and they have such a good offensive ability whenever he's on. But when he's not on, you see the results today or yesterday. He has to be pretty much perfect almost all the time for this team to work. And for the Ravens, I think the scariest part about them, as much as their offense has been dominant all year, their defense has really come around the last few weeks. They're really fitting in well together. Marcus Peters, I know, didn't fit in well with the Rams, but it seems like whatever, came to Baltimore and he's rejuvenated. I know that how they're playing him is different, and that's part of it, but nonetheless, this team is, figuring it out at the right time. It's a lot of games left before the playoffs, but they're in pretty good position to get a bye in the AFC, especially with the Chiefs having the four losses now. So they have the tiebreak against the Pats, so we'll see what happens. They're scheduled, we've talked about a bit. They have a couple tough games coming up here. The toughest probably the 49ers, but they're at home for that one. So, if I looked at their schedule, we're talking about these NFC ones because we did AFC last week, but if I look at this, I'm going to pick the Ravens to win every single one. Yeah. They play the Rams, 49ers, Bills, Jets, Browns, and Steelers. I mean, they're going to be the favorites in all those games, even the 49er game at home, I think, at this point. So there's a chance they're going to be 14-2. Who if they get home field, I think that's going to be really big for the AFC. The Chiefs could obviously go on anywhere and win with their offense and what Patrick Mahomes could do. But if it comes down to Ravens-Patriots in terms of the AFC title game, I think who's home might actually be a really big determining factor.
Yeah, no, you said it. You look at the schedule the rest of the way for the Ravens. It's hard to say they're going to lose any of those games. Now, obviously, it's the NFL. We wouldn't be surprised, but
lose one just by chance of the NFL.
Yeah. Probably going to be your fault. They're probably going to lose to the Rams, and you're going to be there, and we're just going to blame you. So we at least have the Ravens fans ready. But it's insane. Like you said, I mean, there's only one team in the NFL that's even hit the 300-point mark this year, and that's the Ravens, and they have 341. So they had 300 going into this game, and now, of course, they score 41. So now they've scored 341 points on the year. So what they're doing, man, it's insane right now, and Lamar Jackson is just he's just unreal. So it's crazy. And like you said, it's going to be fun to watch that game against the Rams, because you think about Lamar Jackson, he's just become such a – one of the biggest stars in the NFL, and you're playing at the Rams, and this is the team coming off the Super Bowl, as we know. But you're going to see it. You're going to see so many Lamar Jackson jerseys in that stadium. Oh, yeah. Probably it will just be insane. That's going to be fun, though. It should be a fun game. All right, to the afternoon games. We start with the 49ers getting the win, 36-26. Over the Cardinals, and we said it. I mean, we kind of hinted at it earlier. We did not feel confident in saying, this is a lock by any means. Mm-hmm. And really, it was 36-26. But let's remember, I mean, the 49ers scored the defensive touchdown on the lateral play on the very last play of the game. Yep. So this was a game that went right down to the wire, where the Cardinals had the ball, trying to have a chance to win the game. I don't think we read too much into that, though, because as we said, the 49ers were coming off of such an emotionally draining game against the Seahawks. I'm not surprised that they started slow against a team like the Cardinals, who do play a little bit of a different style in terms of how they attack you. But ultimately, the 49ers did what they had to do. They won the game. Jimmy G, 4 touchdowns. And in all honesty, probably didn't play his best game, even though he did throw for 4 touchdowns and 424 yards. But again, you're 9-1, and you're sitting in a really good spot.
Yeah, at the end of the game, Jimmy Garoppolo got the throws done. But I mean, overall, he had so many mistakes that I mean, going back to a couple of weeks ago, we had that really good game against the Cardinals, and sure enough, his final stats look solid, but still, it does scare you a little bit if you're a Niner fan, I think. I mean, this is a team that looked, for a certain point, I know they hadn't played that many tough teams. They looked pretty ridiculous in terms of their balance on both sides. The offense, I mean, the last couple of weeks, they've been relying more on Jimmy Garoppolo than their run game, and I don't know if that's a good trend. I know Kyle Shanahan, if everything's working how he wants it to, he's going to be running the ball a lot more than this. 19 carries for 34 yards against a run defense like Arizona, that's not going to get it done against some of these best teams in the NFC to have superior quarterback play at this point. I mean, Jimmy G's still, I still higher on him maybe than some people are, but I don't tend to put him in that top kind of tier of QBs. I think he's good when he has the right kind of pieces around him and other things are working well, and he you know, does have the ability in these kind of big situations ever since he came to San Francisco leading, you know, last minute drive. So there is at least that comfort in knowing that when the game's on the line, he's the kind of guy that is cool in that pressure. And I mean, I don't think he'll be overcome by the moment of the postseason, but on a bigger scale, the defense for the Niners is a second straight week where they really don't look as nearly as dominant there. I know that DVOA wise, they haven't put out the rankings obviously for this week, but they're gonna probably fall back a few spots again. This is an opponent that, yes, Arizona better than maybe we thought going into the year. They've, for a 3-7-1 team, they're not a team you really love to see on your schedule at this point with what Kyler Murray and some of the throws he's been making. I thought Kyler looked great. It was you know, still making some mistakes here and there, but overall there's some throws that you see why. I mean, this guy's only 22. He's only, if he takes another jump too going into next year, you see why Arizona was so ready to kind of jump over to him rather than Rosen at this point.
Yeah, and you know, the path to the playoff for the Niners, since we are on the NFC teams this week, it ain't easy the next 3 weeks. Now, we feel like they're going to make the playoffs. Like, that's just, let's not get carried away. But, I mean, you know, don't be surprised if they were to, let's say, go on a 3-game losing streak here, because they do have a game at home against the Packers. They're at the Ravens. They're at the Saints. They're at home for the Falcons. They're at home for the Rams.
The new Falcons.
At the Seahawks. Exactly. That is, it looks much different than it did a couple weeks ago. Yep. And then they're at the Seahawks. So really, the rest of the way, you don't see a game on there that just says that's a lock for the Niners. Again, especially the way the Falcons are playing.
It's crazy for a 9-1 team to say that, but it's true.
Yeah, it is very true. So keep that in mind here. We're not saying they're going to miss the playoffs. That's not going to happen. But they don't exactly have an easy slate the rest of the way in terms of the race for home field advantage and all that. So that's something to keep in mind there with the Niners. All right, to my lock of the week, which I should have known not to do this, but sure enough, I did it anyways. The Raiders and the Bengals. The Raiders were my lock of the week. They were 10.5-point favorites. That didn't happen. 17-10. The Raiders win this game. The Bengals still winless in the race for, well, I guess unfortunately at this point is probably for Joe Burrow, but because of Tua's injury, but we'll see how that plays out in the offseason. You know, the Raiders here, I don't know. I guess we can't be too upset because it's one of those where they're 6-4, and it is what it is. I think there are a lot of Raiders teams probably in that same scenario over the years that would have lost that game. Mm-hmm. Because the Bengals, you know, they did play well enough at times to do, you know, have their opportunities. But the Raiders win, and that's the bigger thing here, because now they're 6-4. They're sitting right up there at the top with the Chiefs with the same record in the AFC West. Mm-hmm. And as we said, I mean, it's another step in the right direction for the Raiders because they are, you know, fully in this playoff race at this point.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of optimism for the Raiders, I for me, it took a hit. I mean, these are the games that, you know, if they had won by like 3 touchdowns or something like that, you feel like, all right, this team's ready to roll. They can beat the bad teams well, and they're gonna stack up against their quality competition. I know they did almost beat the Texans, but I still have a worry. I mean, two of their biggest losses of the year to the Vikings and Packers, when they play some of these better teams, and they also lost to the Chiefs by 18. So when they've played better teams for the most part, they've struggled when those teams are on top of their game. Now their schedule might line up, and it's the AFC. I mean, they could easily slide into the playoffs, but once they get there, they're still so far below some of those other teams. You know, good good win, and I'm happy that in their last season in Oakland, they're in the playoff hunt. For me personally, just the NFL seems more fun when the Raiders are at least solid, not like a dumpster fire like they were for so many years. You know, to barely beat the Bengals, not exactly what you're looking for. Ryan Finley was just awful. I mean, and you give some credit to some. I mean, there were players in the Raiders defense that came out and played really well. I think Max Crosby's proven to be a really good draft pick for them, and overall, Josh Jacobs, another week, another game where he's really efficient. He has the one fumble, and turnovers are part of why this game didn't end up being such a blowout, but nonetheless, a victory, and we'll see what the Raiders can do against their it's a huge game here in New York against the Jets. I mean, they're 3-point favorites at this moment, but that's one you can't lose that one and really expect to make the postseason.
Yeah, that's the one they gotta have. And I was pulling up this tweet, I saw it earlier, from Peter Schrager, who pointed out that the Raiders rookie class, which you mentioned, Max Crosby, Josh Jacobs played well, the first to have 10 plus sacks and 10 plus touchdowns over the first 10 games of the season since the sack became a stat in 1982. So that's a weird stat, but that just kind of shows you that, you know, sometimes we've made fun of the Raiders for their draft picks over the years, but this is a different group here with Gruden and Mayock, because they've nailed this year, so that's for sure, because they've got guys who are making an impact right away, and hopefully for them are going to make an impact for many years to come, because they're playing really well, and that's been a big part of their success to this point, without a doubt. So, all right, to you know, one of the bigger games of the week, we expected it to be, and it was, although it was probably a little bit uglier than people thought. I think we probably leaned on the side of this being more of a high-scoring game, figuring, I think, that the Patriots may be able to do more against the Eagles' defense, but that didn't really happen. The Patriots did get the win, 17-10. But I mean, you know, Tom's not happy with the offense, that's for sure, because they didn't look great on offense, and you would expect it against an Eagles team, you know, as we said, that have had their ups and downs on defense for sure. You know, I guess for the Patriots, it's a win. But I think for Eagles fans, this is a frustrating loss because you had every chance to take advantage of the struggles of the Patriots offense. And yet the Eagles, you know, could only muster 10 points, yes, against a defense that's been, you know, one of the best in the NFL without a doubt this season. But I mean, you know, Carson Wentz didn't play great. I guess the Patriots defense can make you look that way. But I can understand the frustration here for Eagles fans, because this was kind of one of those games where the way it played out, maybe not going into it, I mean, the Patriots were the favorites, but going into it and just with the way it played out, the Eagles had their chances here.
Yeah, it's a similar feeling of frustration for, I feel like, a lot of fans that have played the Patriots over the last couple of years, or going back to the end of last season in the Super Bowl, in terms of when Tom Brady is not on his game and the offense isn't clicking, you feel like you have an opportunity to win that ball game, and it's just not happening because this defense is so damn good. You know, it was a similar case where I'm saying, you know, not comparing the Falcons defense to the Patriots defense, but in terms of what Kyle Allen saw on the field, no one really open. There's a lot of times where, yes, Wentz did miss a couple throws, but overall the defense was swarming. He was constantly under pressure, and not a lot of open guys downfield. So for the Patriots, after kind of a slow start to the game, to bounce back and play really well on that side of the ball, not surprising. I still, now, you know, moving forward, if you're a Pats fan, you have to feel like Belichick and Brady will figure it out, because they always have. But the offense is a concern. I mean, if they can't, you know, do anything against a Philadelphia secondary that's still not, you know, maybe the last 3 weeks since after those couple of blowout losses to the Vikings and Eagles, Vikings and Cowboys, they've been playing better, sure, but it still isn't a secondary that really is that scary. And yes, I know the offensive line for New England's had to reshuffle quite a bit compared to the past, but every team goes through that. And the Eagles, I mean, they're able to stop the run pretty well this year, and the Patriots feel like they can run the ball on anyone they want to. They haven't the last couple of games. Coming out of this bye week, it was surprising to see their offense struggle quite as much as it did, and it's still a lot of time to figure it out, though. Like I was saying, you're always going to feel confident as a Patriots fan that they're going to be able to get everything done by the end of the year, but it just feels a little different this time. And for the Eagles, your defense is coming around, and so that part's great, but the offense still not consistent enough as you like it to be with all the talent they have there. They still got a shot to win this division at 5-5 with the Cowboys a game up and a more favorable schedule in Philadelphia's direction, but still a team that I can understand the frustration, because expectations, obviously, clearly I picked them before the year to win the Super Bowl. Expectations have not been met.
All right, well, let's go through the Eagles' playoff schedule here, as we have for these other teams. You mentioned they're 5-5. They're trying to catch the Cowboys in that division. They've got 6 games left. All right, we're taking our picks again on this one. Let's start with their game against the Seahawks in Week 12. That's at home.
Going to go Seahawks, but I don't feel incredible about that one. And right now, the Eagles are a 1.5-point favorite.
That's interesting. We'll talk more about that one later in the week. At the Dolphins.
Philly.
Home against the Giants.
And, Eagles again.
At the Redskins.
I think you know that one.
At home against the Cowboys.
And that's the one that, I mean, we'll see when we get there. I tend to think Cowboys just leaning towards what, going back to that first matchup, but it's going to be a lot different, you know, when we actually make the pick. I think that's basically... going to decide who wins the division, though.
Well, I was going to say, because then they finish the season at the Giants. So, really, they're going to get to 9 wins. And the thing is that the 2 games that they could lose are both at home against the Seahawks and the Cowboys. So, at least you have that advantage. So, really, there's not a better schedule probably you could ask for, I mean, all things considered, to where, you know, they're not playing great, but... they could win all 6 of these. They're probably not, but they could. And so I think if you're an Eagles fan, you have to be optimistic knowing you still got 2 games against the Giants. You've still got the Dolphins and the Redskins. So those are 4 games you absolutely have to win. You can't drop any of those. And, yeah, you feel like they should be fine, I think, in that scenario. Like you said, it's probably going to come down to that game. But it is at home against the Cowboys, so we'll see there. All right, wrapping up with the Sunday night game, the Bears and the Rams. Whew, it was about what we we thought it would be.
We said to take the under.
We did say that for sure. 17-7, the Rams win this game, move to 6-4. I don't know. Like again, there was nothing in this game that caught us off guard. I don't think at all. You know, Robert Woods didn't play. That was surprising. You know, because the Rams said there's a personal issue, and then. Yet they still find a way to win, and as we've said, the Bears' offense is terrible, and the Bears' defense kind of isn't what it has been, even though, you know, all things considered, they still made plays in this game. It's just if you don't have an offense, you can't do anything, and once again, I know the Rams' defense is good, but it's the same story for the Bears' offense.
Yeah, I mean, yes, the Rams defense, we can talk about how they've improved and how their secondary is kind of all coming together at the right time. So that's encouraging from that standpoint. But it is the Bears. You can't really give them way too much credit in this one. Obviously, a much bigger test with the Ravens coming up in terms of what they're able to do, passing and running. The Chicago, I mean, it's not just the missed throws. It's so many things with that team on offense. Their offensive line's been awful. And Trubisky is somehow going backwards, it seems like, each game, and there's like little throws here and there that are okay, but he's overall, it's just been such a struggle. He still can't throw to his left, which I don't know, some Zoolander stuff going on there, but man, I don't know, it's brutal to watch. It was that first half, it was like everyone was joking when the Rams made that field goal that barely went in. Everyone's like tweeting points, oh, we got points, and then like the Rams scored a touchdown, oh, it was a touchdown. Like, wow, this is great. Yeah, it was not really a ton to take away from this for the Rams' sake on defense, on offense. Yeah, struggled for most of the game, I guess. If there's anything positive, Todd Gurley early in the game looked to, you know, be running much better, and they talked on the telecast about what the Rams are doing in terms of their, you know, changing how they block, on not doing the same zone blocking scheme, but kind of double teaming guys and the A gaps and all that stuff. So it was, I guess you can see that the Rams are trying to make adjustments. And that last drive with the Rams put the game away, there were some throws where, you know, Goff had a little more time, but, you know, it was hitting guys with some of the stuff that I felt like we saw last year more, where the inaccurate things that we've seen throughout this season that have been really frustrating. They had the one touchdown callback to Josh Reynolds on a beautiful deep ball right on the money, and a few other ones to keep that drive alive. There were really solid passes, and I think that's, if there's anything encouraging for the Rams to take away, if they're going to get back in this playoff hunt, they're only, you know, a game and a half behind the Vikings at this point. That Viking win hurts them a lot, but nonetheless, if Goff can at least play at average, and if they're able to run the ball at least decently like this, they have a shot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. And let's go through the Rams schedule, because it's, again, the schedule's set up really well for some of these teams, like we said, and you look at the rest of the way, kind of what they have. And when you look at the Rams, you know, we kind of know where they are right now. I mean, they're a team that's sitting here, you know, at 6-4. They're certainly behind the 49ers and the Seahawks based on what they've done to this point. Yep. And all right, let's just do this. Let's go one by one here for the Rams. All right. They're at home against the Ravens, which we've already said. I mean, I guess all things considered, you kind of have to take the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So that's one. They're at the Cardinals.
It's not going to be easy.
No.
I mean, I'll pick the Rams just because, again, I think the biggest thing is the defense right now. I feel like there'll be a tough matchup for Arizona.
Yeah, so you've got that. Then they're at home against the Seahawks.
Shoot. I mean, the last game came down to a field goal. I'll pick the Seahawks, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's all going to be won with the defense of the Rams and the offense of the Seahawks. That's the battle there. The flip side, Seattle's defense still a big concern for me.
Yeah, so see, that's the theme here, because after that, they're at the Cowboys, which we say the same thing about. It's like, yeah, well.
Yeah, a lot of games that they, like, if I'm picking, it's going to be really tough. And that's the thing. That's why that Viking loss, again, is so big. The Vikings have some tough games come up in the schedule, but a lot of them are at home. And you see the Seahawks and their schedule, and you're starting to feel like there's going to be teams that are 11-5 is what you need to get in the playoffs. And that's probably unrealistic with the Rams' schedule. 10-6 might be the best case scenario, and I don't even know if that's going to be enough.
Yeah, because then they finish at the Niners and at home against the Cardinals, which I assume we'll probably take them at home against the Cardinals. But at the Niners, that's another one where it's basically
they're going to be their playoffs start now.
Yeah, there you go. So of all the teams we've talked about in the NFC, I think the Rams, you know, they're a team where there's a lot more questions than answers on some of these remaining games, and so we'll see what happens there for the defending NFC champs. All right, that wraps up our look at the Week 11 games, aside from the Monday night matchup, which you can go back in our previous episode. Here are our thoughts on the Chiefs and the Chargers in Mexico City. We'll wrap it up, as we always do, with a look at the waiver wire for all you fantasy nuts out there like us who are already looking ahead, trying to carve our path to the playoffs. Although I will say, Dylan, I'm looking at the standings here. I'm pretty sure you and I and someone else, maybe, I think with looking how that's playing out, we're going to have a three-way tie for first here in the old Clutch Points League as we head into Week 12. So at least we feel okay about our playoffs spots, but we're not just trying to make the playoffs. We're trying to win the whole thing here. So looking at the waiver wire, it's kind of the same as last week. There are some good options here, but let's remember there's only 1 week left to buys. The Cardinals, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Vikings are all on buys, which when you really think about it, like, you know, there's a lot of possible quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers in there, so you may actually have to make some moves this week. Dylan, we'll kind of run through these pretty quickly here. Quarterback-wise, I have Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, which is hard to believe, but again, let's think about it. It's the schedules, folks. It's all about the schedules. The Browns and Jets have two of the better schedules left. If we combine that with some running backs, you know, the Colts duo, Jonathan Williams, as we said, 0.0% owned. Naheem Hines is also there if you need him because of Marlon Mack's injury. So those two, I guess, maybe flip a coin on who's going to be, you know, have the better workload moving forward.
Exactly.
Bo Scarborough for the Lions. How about that? He comes out of nowhere. He's 0.0% owned, too. So there's another guy, the running backs, another couple running backs, Dylan, I've got on here, Darius Geis and Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard, I know Cowboys fans have called for him to be more involved in the offense. He showed, you know, he keeps showing his big playability here. So that's just some of the options at quarterback and running back. We'll get to the receivers here in a second.
Yeah, I think Geis, obviously, if you can still get him, he's owned in almost 47% of ESPN leagues. So if you're one of those 53%, I think that's a good option. You're seeing that, especially at the end of the season, they're going to want to see what they have from him. And yeah, they're not really playing for, you know, anything other than playing out the season to really evaluate their own players, I feel like, at this point. So in that way, Geis is a good option. On the flip side, it is the Washington Redskins. It is that offensive line, so I don't know how much trust you can really have in a lot of these guys. You might have more luck with the two Colts running backs and that offensive line and all the talent they have up front there. So I think those guys, like you said, you can flip a coin. I guess maybe monitor the quotes from the coaches coming up over the next couple weeks. Yeah, and then going to the quarterbacks, Baker and Sam at this point, you know, I'm looking at the list and it's pretty brutal. Other than that, you're not feeling too good. I mean,
it's a 1 week thing, folks. Remember, it's 1 week because everybody's back full. You know, there's no buys after this upcoming week. So don't plug Sam Darnold into your lineup or Baker Mayfield and leave him there the rest of the way.
And I know there were some games early in the year we talked about Daniel Jones having better matchups. He's going to have the Bears and the Packers coming up, so I would stay away. No reason. I mean, Nick Foles had a decent week in terms of fantasy, but I still don't really believe he's a better option than, like you said, for 1 week. Baker and Sam, I think they get the nod here.
Yeah, they'll be fine. You have to do what you have to do because some of you are still fighting for playoff spots. Wide receivers, we're going back to the well, and this guy's probably going to be number one again on the list. I think he's been there maybe – this is going to be the third straight week. I think he's been number one. Devontae Parker, still only 44.7% owned.
Gosh.
And, I mean, I think he had 20 standard points this week, so it's like – I'm sorry, guys. I know we were, you know, just all over the Dolphins early in the season, but this is a different scenario. Like, this guy is literally their only option in the passing game now. I mean, Jakeem Grant had a nice game. That's great, but that was return-wise. But you've got Devontae Parker is just – he's going to have a lot of usage, and I don't know why. I'm like, at this point, I have to start this guy every week because – there's no other option, and then we know they're going to be playing from behind. They're going to be throwing the ball, so he's someone you just gotta look at this point. You can't. And then Debo Samuel, I mean, he had a big game.
Yes.
I'm still worried about that. You know, in a sense that we know they want to run the ball, and we know they've got some options. Emmanuel Sanders, you know, there's a lot of different options in the passing game, but Debo Samuel, at least wide receiver wise. And I guess wrapping up, the only other one I have on here, well, to Jacob Hollister, of course, tight end for the Seahawks. They're back. Now he's any tight end that plays for Russell Wilson, as we know, he's shown his value over the past couple weeks.
Yeah,
and then
he's been great.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, those are probably the best options if you're looking for pass catchers.
Yeah, the only other one, maybe, if depending on how much longer George Kittle is out, Ross Dwelly, same kind of thing.
True.
Where the tight ends are really involved, like they're in Seattle for the Niners, so that's a solid option. Yeah, Devontae Parker, if he's not owning your league, I don't know what everyone's doing. It's crazy to me that percentage is that crazy. I know it's the Dolphins, but for all the points you just brought up in terms of targets and how much they're throwing the ball, all of it just combined, I mean, he's been consistently up there. I think for Debo Samuel, the last 2 weeks his targets are trending up quite a bit, and he's making some big plays. So like you said, they want to run the ball, and for the 49ers, it's kind of the thing of that team with a lot of some of these better offenses. There's just so many weapons that it's hard to rely on a guy. But for a 1 week spot start, I think Debo is another solid option here. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So he's someone to consider. Like I said, if you need to play in this week, I have the Lions defense as an option. But I know that sounds weird coming off of the game they play. But let's remember, all about the matchups, folks. And we said the Raiders were an option last week. The Lions are at the Redskins this week, so that again, that tells
maybe Jeff Driscoll then on the quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Maybe Jeff Driscoll's an option because he didn't play bad against the Cowboys. So
no, he played well. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. So there's your options. Waiver wire, I know, like we said, remember, you're just trying to get through it this week because there's no more buys, and you should have your team at full strength. And hopefully you're not like me and you're going to lose to someone who literally has not set their lineup in 8 weeks. And somehow it all just came together this week to where you just make those moves to one of my leagues where you're overthinking it and you're going to lose to someone who has probably checked his team twice the entire season. So that is fantasy football, and that will wrap up this episode of the Established Pass Podcast. Dylan, let everybody know where they can find all of our great NFL stuff over at Clutch Points.
Yeah, so at clutchpoints.com, the NFL tab, all of our NFL articles, content, even the podcast will show up there when we get the podcast articles up. There's also the podcast tab for all four of our Clutch Points podcasts, three currently active, the NBA one, not as much as the Lakers-Clippers pod, and then obviously the college basketball one that Blake hosts. So, yeah, we got good stuff there. Anywhere you can find podcasts, we'll be there. If we're not in an outlet that you do want, I mean, just message us. We're pretty easy to find on Twitter. and then we have our Clutch Points app with the NFL and NBA and MLB sections, but mostly NBA and NFL, obviously, at this point, with the scorers page where you can follow games, communicate with other fans, follow, get reactions from writers and video and all that good stuff during the games. as well as our news sections on both those sections. So yeah, good stuff for Clutch Points NBA. Obviously, I'm in full swing at this point, but NFL still holding on here for a few more months.
Yep, gonna be a fun stretch run here in the league. And like you said, be sure to subscribe and all that. Check out all of our stuff, NFL stuff on the website. And yeah, we'll be back here on the next episode of the podcast as we look ahead to Week 12, which should be another fun one around the league. So thanks for listening to this episode of the Established Past podcast, and we'll talk to you guys next time here on the show.